James chapter number 1, we've been discovering that there's a connection between the blessings that God wants to bless us with and the Bible. And that is, we've discovered in James chapter number 1 that one of the reasons why that many people are missing out on the blessings that God wants to give them into their in their lives is because we're not doing what the Bible says that we need to be doing. And one of the reasons why that we don't do what the Bible says we ought to be doing is because we don't know what the Bible says. And one of the reasons why we don't know what the Bible says is because we don't remember what it is that we have read and what it is that we have heard. And the reason why we don't remember what it is that we've heard and read in the Bible is the same reason why that sometimes I have a hard time remembering where I put things. The reason why is because it's not something that I use every day. And so I don't know where it's at. I don't know where I left it. I don't know where I put it. And I don't know where it's at. And so I'm looking around trying to find something because I've forgotten where it is at. But ladies and gentlemen, in the same way that many times you and I don't spend enough time in the Word, and that is that we don't meditate on it day and night like Moses and Joshua were commanded to do in the Old Testament we looked at this morning. And for that reason, we don't remember what it is that the Bible says. And for that reason, you and I forget what it says, and then we don't do what it says to do. And therefore, we miss out on the blessings that God has in our lives. God wants to bless you. And the means by which God wants to bless you is through the Bible. That is, by hearing and by applying the Word of God. Remember what verse 25 says. It says in James 1:25, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this is the man that will be blessed in his deed." God wants to bless you in every area of your life. And the blessings of God that He has purposed for you and that He has for you, ladies and gentlemen, comes from the Bible. It comes from continuing in the Word so that you will know what the Word of God says, remember what the Word of God says, and to be able to do what the Bible says to do. That is, if you want to be blessed and experience God's best in your life, then you've got to get into the Word and let the Word of God saturate your life in every area of your life. And so I want us to take a closer look this evening at what James writes to us about experiencing the blessings of God that come to us through the Bible. And I want us to begin by backing up and noticing what James says and what he writes here about salvation through the Bible. Notice verse number 18, where he lays the foundation for what he's teaching in the following verses. And this is an important foundation. Listen to what he writes. He says, "Of his will," that is of God's will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In verse number 18, James lays the foundation for what it is that he's going to tell us and the truth that he's trying to reveal to us in the following verses about the importance of the Bible. And as he writes to us in verse number 18, we find that he writes about our salvation experience. He writes about when it was that we got saved. That is, he uses the word here in verse number 18, the word beget. And that is that there was a time in your life, if you're saved, there's a time in your life where God begat you. Now, you didn't know you got begat, did you? But you did. As the Bible says that one day God begat you. Now, that little word begat there is an interesting word. It just means, ladies and gentlemen, to be birthed. That is, to be birthed. And the idea is the second birth. That is, it was a time in your life when God birthed you. Now, there was a time when you experienced your first birth, and like many of you, I don't remember when I was born the first time. But then there was a day when I got born a second time. We call that the new birth, is referred to in the Scripture as being born again when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And listen, I remember that experience. As a matter of fact, as long as I have my mind, I'll never forget that day when God dealt with my heart. That is, when God completed a work that He began in my heart months before. before, and I got born again that day. That is, I experienced the second birth. Now, the second birth was a lot different from the first birth, and yet there was some similarities between them. And that is that I experienced a brand new life. When I got born the first time, my mom and dad had a brand new baby in their home. A brand new life came into the world. But I want to tell you, when I got born the second time, I also experienced new life. And the new life that I experienced the second time was a result of the fact that the mother of the Holy Spirit, working through the Word, birthed me into the family of God, and on that very moment, at that very moment, gave to me the life of God that is eternal life. When I got born the first time, I received physical life. When I got born again, I received eternal life. That is, the second birth brings to us the life of God. Our spirit that was dead is quickened and made alive at the moment of our conversion. Listen, if you've ever been saved, then listen to me. At the moment that God saved you, you got born again. If you've never been born again, you've never been saved. That is, the new birth itself is the conversion experience, that great miracle of God the Holy Spirit when He makes us alive in Christ and gives to us eternal life at the moment of our conversion. And we find that that's what it is that James is writing about in this passage. And listen to me now, our personal experience with the Word of God began that day. It began when you and I were born again. That's when our experience with the Bible began. It began with our birth. We were birthed by the Bible. And we find that that's what James is writing about here. Maybe some of you remember that day. Maybe you remember that experience. And you may not remember the exact date on the calendar, but listen to me now. If you've ever met Him, been born again, then you'll remember the experience that you had. You'll remember when God did that work in you, when He got you to the end of yourself, when you got to the point of brokenness over your sin, to the point of repentance, and you turned to Him, and He came and lived on the inside of you, quickened you, and made you alive. Listen to me now. If you remember your wedding, you ought to remember when you got born again. Amen. And some of you remember when you got married, and that was a day that changed your life. You met somebody, you married somebody, and it changed your life. What I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, there came a day in my life when I met somebody before I ever met my wife, and I met my Lord, and He changed my life for all eternity. And I have to say, as much as I love my wife, listen, I have to say that that day I met Jesus was the most important day of my life, and she would say the same as well. And that is that He saved me, came into my life, and I began a brand new life on that very day. You say, Pastor, you must have been a rascal before God saved you. You must have been into some really bad stuff. I mean, people that live a good life, they don't necessarily need to be born again. It's just those folks that live a wicked and bad life. I was 13 years old, and I had a mama and a daddy that was sheltered me and protected me and mothered me and fathered me, and I wasn't doing anything bad except fighting with my brothers and sisters once in a while. If you all know what I mean, some of you young people know what I mean right now, don't you? Yeah, somebody, I know you guys do, over there on the Kermarsik side over there. Yeah. Sure. With a Bible, listen, but I tell you that on that day, when I was born again, God gave me a brand new heart and a brand new life. I want to tell you that God changed me immediately and forever. Listen to me now, there wasn't a lot of bad habits I had to change, but God gave me a new heart. And the difference was that I had a heart now that loved Him and wanted to fellowship with Him and wanted to worship Him. I've said to you on many occasions that the day that God saved me, the biggest change that happened is I wanted to get back to church on Sunday night. Can you imagine? Hey, can you imagine wanting to go to church on a Sunday night? Well, listen, while many churches are shutting down Sunday night service, there was one little teenage boy that couldn't wait to get back. And the reason why is because Jesus was living on the inside of me. I wanted to gather around with the other saints and just sing some of those songs that we sang out of that old green hymnal. And I wanted to be able to just hear my pastor preach another message one more time and just be around the saints of God and just watch those who worshiped and maybe do a little bit myself while I was there. What I'm trying to get you to see, something happened on the inside of me. And listen, I didn't understand it all at the moment, but now that I've been studying the Bible, I found out that what happened that day is I got born again. That is, God saved me and He came to live on the inside of me and He made me alive with the life of God at that very moment that He saved me. And that's what James is writing about here in verse number 18. He's writing about when you got begat. That is when you got born again. That is when God birthed you as well. That is when He gave you that new life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are three things about our new birth that James calls our attention to in verse number 18. And by the time I get down to the end of it, you'll understand how it ties into the title of this series of messages about the Bible and about our blessing. And that is the first thing that he writes to us about or calls our attention to in verse number 8 is what I would call the will of the new birth. The will of the new birth. You might have noticed how verse number 18 starts off. It says, of his own will, of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth. It is of his own will, that is God's will, that he begat us. You know what James is telling us here? He's telling us here that God is the one who began this experience called the new birth. That is, God is the one who initiated this experience. He's the one, listen to me now, he's the one who birthed us into his kingdom. You see, the experience I'm talking about here is not one that you produce yourself. It's not an experience that you yourself produce. That is, you get to feeling bad about the direction of your life. You decide you need to change some things. You need to straighten up and straighten out and quit fighting with your brothers. And you need to stop all that. And I just need to straighten up. I need to live a better life. And so I start, you know, getting me some help and start living better and start doing better, turning over a new leaf, stop these bad things and start doing some good things. Now listen, that's what you can do. But listen, I'm talking about something God did. That's not the experience I'm talking about. Being born again, ladies and gentlemen, is not something that you and I can do by natural means, but it is something God does in a supernatural way. That is, it's of His own will. It's not something that I willed, but I tell you, it is something that God did. It's something that God willed. When you and I got saved, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't get saved because of what we willed, but listen, we got saved because of what He willed. Let me confirm that with you in John chapter number 1 for just a moment. In John chapter number 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Listen to this next verse. Which were born, not of blood. That is, it's not something you inherited by means of blood. It's not something you received from your bloodline. Hey, it's not of the will of the flesh. Did you notice there that you and I were born again? It's not of the blood. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of man, but of God. Did you notice that? When you and I were born again, it's not because of anything we willed. It's not because of anything that we inherited. But I'm going to tell you something God did. And that is a supernatural work of God when God saves a sinner. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, listen to what the Bible says in verse number 3. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Listen to this. Who will? God will. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen to that verse there. He will, God will, have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to see the will of God. And that is that when it comes to salvation, ladies and gentlemen, what is important is His will. I wasn't saved by my will. I was saved because He willed for me to be saved. Did you know the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, the Word of God tells us there in that verse that, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. As some men count slackness, He's long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you notice the emphasis on God's will? That God's will, He doesn't want anybody to perish, but instead He wants everybody, God wants everybody to repent. That is, to turn from their sinful condition and to turn to Him, to turn to Christ and receive what Christ did on that cross for us. Here's what I'm trying to get us to see. In this passage that we're looking at in James chapter number 1, there's an emphasis, isn't there, on doing the Word. If you want to be blessed, you need to do what the Bible says to do. Remember what the Bible says and do what the Bible says to do. But James is balancing that truth in verse number 18 that we're looking at by reminding us that before we could ever do anything with the Word, God had to do something with the Word. He had to beget us with the Word of truth. Before we could ever do anything, God had to do something, didn't He? Before you and I could ever exercise our will, He exercised His. And it's for that reason, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I are born again. It's not because of my decision, it's because of His. He's the one who took the initiative. Hey, before I ever came to Him, guess what? He came to me. Long before, months before I ever came to Him, He started visiting my heart. And He started dealing with me. God took the initiative. God is the one who willed for me to be saved. If God hadn't have done that, ladies and gentlemen, I'd have never come to Him. If He had never come, listen, if He hadn't have come to me and dealt with me and convicted me of my sin and revealed to me my lostness, I would have never come to Him. Before I ever came to Him, He came to me. Hey, before I ever called out to Him, He was already calling out to me. And the reason why that I called out to Him is because He was calling out to me. I'm trying to get you to see, ladies and gentlemen, the will of the new birth. If it's of His own will, His will, that He beget us, the Bible tells us here. Now, when you see the will of the new birth, it's important to see, secondly, the width of the new birth. Right here in verse number 18, He tells us here that of His own will begat He us, and then there's the width of the new birth with the word of truth. In other words, when God moved in on our hearts, that is, in the person of the Holy Spirit, when God Himself willed to deal with us and move upon our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to the point of the new birth, the means by which He did that is by the Word of God. That is, God operated in us through the Word of God. Did you know it was through the Bible? That is, through the Word, the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts and revealed to us our sin. It is through the Word. When God began to deal with your heart through the Word of God and began to reveal to you the condition of your sin, that is, that you're in a sinful condition before God. Remember when God started dealing with you? Remember how that as you heard the Word of God, God started dealing with you and began to cause you to realize what a sinner you were in the sight of God? Remember when you got beyond just seeing the sins that you've committed and you saw the condition that you were in? And that is, you realize that you stood before God a sinner. You stood before God, ladies and gentlemen, scarred and marred and messed up with sin. That is, it was a condition that you were in, that you were a sinner before God, that you were lost in the sight of God. Oh, that was the word that kept haunting my soul as God dealt with my heart and convicted my heart as a teenager. Over and over again, the word that's haunted my soul is, you're lost. Over and over again, God spoke to me and told me, you're lost. The Holy Spirit working through the Word revealed to me my lost condition. You see, the reason why that I knew I was lost is because of what the Bible said. And that is, as the Word of God was being preached, the Spirit of God was operating and revealing to me the condition that I was in, the condition of my sin. Not only did I realize the condition of my sin, but I also realized the consequences of my sin. That is, as the Word of God was being explained, as the Word of God was being taught, all of a sudden I began to realize what the consequences of my sinful condition was. I began to realize what the Bible says, that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And as I heard the Word of God taught, I realized that that meant not only that that's the reason why people physically die, is because of our sin. The reason why the physical death exists is because sin came into the world through Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But it means more than that. Oh, it does. It means also spiritual death. And that is that the reason why that my soul is cut off from God, the reason why that I'm lost, the reason why that I'm separated from God is because of my sin. It's because of my sinful condition. Now, all of that began to just weigh in on my heart. I just began to realize that. And if you've been born again, you remember when you began to realize, when God began to weigh in on your heart and you began to realize what a sinner you was. That is, that you're in a sinful, lost condition before God. And you realize that your sin has separated you from God so that you are spiritually dead, cut off, and separated from Him. That's what it means to be lost. And that's what I was. Separated from God. I didn't know Him. I'd walk the aisle of the church whenever I was a little boy. I'd attended the church as regularly as my parents made me attend. But I want to tell you that in my soul, on the inside of me, for months I knew that I didn't know God. And that is that I was lost, that I didn't have an experience with the Lord, that I didn't have fellowship with Him. I didn't know Him and I was lost. And the reason why that I was lost, ladies and gentlemen, is because of my sinful condition before a holy God. The reason why that I knew that is because God was speaking through His Word, and He was revealing to me my sin. He revealed to me the condition of my sin, that I was in a condition of sinfulness. He revealed to me the consequences of my sin, and that is that I was spiritually cut off from God and separated from God. And listen, not only did I have spiritual death, but I was on my way to eternal death. As I heard the word of God preached, I began to realize that because I was lost, because I wasn't saved, I was a sinner, I was lost and I was separated from God and I was bound for eternal judgment. And that is that I was headed for a place called hell. Now listen, when you begin to see yourself as headed to hell and deservingly so, when you begin to realize that, listen to me now, one breath away, that you'd be under the judgment of God in hell and that you'll be there forever, listen, that'll startle your heart just a little bit, and it should. It'll wake you up from your spiritual slumber and cause you to begin to listen to what the Bible says. And I knew I was lost, and I knew I was under the judgment of God. I knew that if I would die, I would spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. I believed that Jesus could come any day. Our pastor taught us Jesus could come at any time, and I knew that if the Lord came, that I wouldn't be going, I wouldn't be raptured out of here, but I'd be left behind to suffer the awful judgment of God. And oh, the fear of God that began to haunt my soul. Now, there's a popular notion among so-called Christians today that I wouldn't call Christians, and that is that you shouldn't be scared, you shouldn't scare anybody. But let me just tell you that if you're lost, you ought to be broken with fear this evening. And the reason why is because of the awful hell that awaits you and because of the awful judgment of God that is to come. Salvation is not something to patch up your old life. Listen to me now, if you don't get saved, you're going to be separated from God for all eternity under His judgment forever and ever and ever. There's not anything that is more important than knowing for sure that you've been born again, knowing for sure that you've been saved. You see, you might be able to fool me. You can say, you know what, Pastor, everything's right with me. Everything's good, and I'll just take you at your word, and I'll believe you, and I'll say something like this: if you're happy, I'm happy. Amen. That might be the case, but one of these days you're going to die. One of these days, the Lord's going to come, and the one who knows your heart, the one who knows everything, ladies and gentlemen, He's the one that you're going to stand before. And listen to me now, if you're not saved, you're not going to fool God. If you're not saved, the very moment that you die, you'll lift up your eyes in a place of torment, according to Luke 16, under the judgment of God. I'm so glad one day the Holy Spirit got to deal with my heart through the Word. And as He was dealing with my heart, I realized my sinful condition. That is, I realized my sin. He revealed to me my sin. And I knew I was lost, and I knew I stood before God condemned. I knew I was on the way to divine judgment, ladies and gentlemen. I was in a mess. And I want to tell you that God revealing that to me brought me to a point of brokenness. And I began to realize with great desperation as a teenage boy, with great desperation, that I need to be saved, and I need to be saved more than anything else in life. I needed Him. I needed God to save me. He brought me to a point that Sunday morning, ladies and gentlemen, when God saved me, He brought me to a point that I wanted to be saved worse than I wanted anything else in life. Listen, I would have done anything to get saved that day. But I'm so thankful to God for this old book called the Bible. On that Sunday morning when I got down there on the altar and began to cry out to God, asking God to save me, pleading with God to save me, begging God to save me. Oh, I was so broken. Listen, there was a time before I got saved that I would have been embarrassed for anybody to think that I was lost. And my pride kept me from coming to Christ. But when I broke that Sunday morning, I didn't care who heard me. They were singing the invitation song, but it didn't matter. I was crying out to God to the top of my lungs. If you was anywhere near where I was at, you'd have heard me crying out to God, asking God to save me. That's what I needed more than anything else. And I was struggling there in the altar and battling in the altar. And my pastor took this book, and as he opened up this book, I not only realized that I was a sinner, but he showed me the Savior from the pages of the Bible. This book reveals to us that there's one who can save us. It sure does. That is the one who died on that cross. He died on the cross for our sin. I'm talking about the one who, after He died on the cross, was buried in that tomb. Rolled that great stone over the entrance of that tomb, sealed it with the Roman seal, guarded it with the Roman soldiers, and somehow or another, about 3 days later, He was gone. And the stone was rolled away, and the guards were passed out, and Jesus was gone, raised from the dead. This book reveals to us that because of what Jesus did on that cross when he died for our sins, and because of his resurrection the third day, that I could be saved. That there's the one. He's the one who could save me from my sinful condition. The Holy Spirit revealed the Savior to my heart. That is what Jesus did on the cross, and he brought me to the point of faith. When I say the point of faith, I mean down there in the altar of that church, as the pastor was showing me those verses from the Bible about Jesus, verses that I had learned in Sunday school and verses I'd heard him preach over and over again. But somehow when you're desperate, somehow when you're lost, somehow when you're broken before God, those verses become great news to your soul. And I begin to realize that Jesus did it all when he died on that cross. He paid the price for me. I realized that while I would have done anything to get saved, I didn't have to do anything to get saved, and Jesus did it all when he died on the cross and was raised the third day. He did it all for me, and ladies and gentlemen, somehow I was able to just rest, just believe, just trust in what Jesus did when he died on that cross. That is, the Holy Spirit did that work in my heart. That is, he revealed the Savior to me down there in the altar of that church. That is, he brought me to the point of believing and trusting in Christ and him alone. Not in my pastor, not in my prayer. I wasn't trusting in what I'd prayed. My heart was not trusting in anything my pastor said. But my heart got to the point where the only one who could help me was Jesus. And the only thing that could help me was his death on the cross and his resurrection the third day. And it was at that point, with a repentant, broken heart, that I surrendered to the work of Christ on the cross. At that very moment, and it happened so fast that you didn't know, you can't tell it happens. At that very moment, at that very split second, I passed from death unto life. It happened so fast that I had to look back on it in order to see it. You say, did you feel it? No, it was already done. I just realized it was over. Somehow the battle was done. Somehow the lostness was gone. Somehow I'd been found. Somehow I had peace with God. That I was alive on the inside with the life of God. Do you know that at that very moment that God begat me? You remember that time in your life where God begat you? The Holy Spirit operates on our hearts. And you know how he operates to bring us to that point? He operates on our heart through the Bible. Through the Word of God to bring us to the point of the new birth. In John chapter number 5, Jesus was speaking about this to the Jewish people that he was preaching to. Here's what he said in John 5:24. He said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That is, the means by which God brings us to the point of the new birth is through the Word of God. Peter wrote about this in 1 Peter chapter number 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, it says, being born again, notice now, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That is, you and I, when we got born again, the means by which God brought us to the point of new birth, ladies and gentlemen, is by the Word of God. That is, God's eternal word did an eternal work on the inside of us that left us with eternal life. Born again by the power of the Word of God. Hope that you're beginning to see what it is that James is wanting us to see. That is, what we're learning here is that the Word of God was the indispensable part of our experience of the new birth. It was the means through which God brought us to the point of brokenness before him, repentance before him, and faith of trusting in Christ and what he did on the cross. Why, did you know the Bible, according to Hebrews 4:12, did you know this book, the Bible, is like a two-edged sword? Oh, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's alive, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Why, this book, the Bible, the Word of God tells us in that verse that it pierces all the way, ladies and gentlemen, to pierce asunder, to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. This book reaches the parts of our being that nothing and nobody else can reach, so that you and I can realize our lost condition and realize what Jesus did. That is, it's this book that does that spiritual surgery on the inside of us. It brings us to a point of brokenness before God and to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the reason why. Obviously, that's why it is so important to share the Word of God with other people. Because that's what God uses. That's the means through which the Spirit of God operates. It is through His book. That's the reason why it's so important for you to hear the Word of God. Did you know that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? It sure does. That is saving faith. Those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, that faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's so important to listen to the Word of God, to hear what it is that God is saying. I'm trying to get you to see, and that is that what God did through the Word of God, God saved you through the Word. In verse number 18, you'll see the will of the new birth. It's of His own will that He begat us. God is the one who took that initiative. God is the one who did it. We see here the with of the new birth. And that is, He did it with the Word of truth. The one who willed to save us. The one who took the initiative to come to us. He did it through the Word of truth. God could have done it any way He wanted to, but God has chosen to do it through His Word. That is, through the Bible. Through the Bible. So you see here the will of the new birth. You see the with of the new birth. But let's notice now the why of the new birth. The last phrase of verse number 18 says that, or so that. It answers the question why. And that is, why is it that of His own will He begat us with the Word of truth? Why did God do that? It's so that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, when James writes here about first fruits, those who are reading this book originally, the ones that it was originally written to, they would have known what he was writing about. They would have understood that term very clearly. James was writing to an audience with a Jewish background. And they knew that in the Old Testament law, that God required for His people to give their first fruits as an offering to Him. You see, the first fruits were the earliest and the best of the crop. The earliest and the best of the crop. When they gave their first fruits, they were giving their best of all the crop. Amen. Well, sometimes we use language like that, don't we, when we talk about giving? And that is that God's people ought to give their first fruits, using Old Testament language, to say that you and I ought to be given to God our very best, ladies and gentlemen. And we should. God deserves our very best. That's what first fruits means. Well, listen to me now. James is telling us here that the reason why God willed to begat you with the Word of truth is so that you also might be, so that you might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures, so that you might be a first fruit of all of God's creatures. Those of you who have been born again, James tells us here that we are God's, that we are the first fruits of all of God's creatures. You know what that means? That we are the very best of God's created order. Oh yeah, when He saved you, He made you His best of all of His creatures. Or those who've been born again who have the life of God living on the inside of them. Oh, listen, the best in all of God's created order are those who are part of the new humanity, that is the new creation in Christ. Those who have been born again and have the life of God living on the inside of them. You know what he's telling us? There's not anything better than being born again. Nothing better. Those who've been born again have received, are you ready? Have received the greatest blessing that any part of God's creation could experience. We'll say it again. Those who've been born again have received the greatest blessing that any part of God's creation could experience. Some of you got a dog at the house and you throw your dog a little bone and he thinks he's in high heaven, doesn't he? Or she, as the case may be. Oh, but you've got something, listen, you've got something that a dog can never experience. You've got the life of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you if you've been born again. Yeah. Hey, listen to me now. You may have some neighbors around you that might pull in with a new automobile, and they pull that thing in and they look it over and they want you to see it. And listen, maybe they're proud of their car, and listen, they're living their very best life because they got a brand new car, or maybe they got a brand new house, and maybe they got something else, but they're living the best life because of what it is that they have. But listen to me now, on that day, that is that day so many years ago, when I went home after that Sunday morning service, I had something better than a new car, amen. I had something better than a new house, and I had something better than a new pair of shoes, and I had something better than a dog for a bone. You say, Pastor, what'd you have? I had eternal life. And that is, I went to church that Sunday morning dead in my sin. But when I left, I was alive in Christ. When I went to church that Sunday morning, I was on my way to hell. And when I went home, I was on my way to heaven. When I went to church that Sunday morning, I was dreading getting there. But listen, when I left, I couldn't wait to get back. When I went that Sunday morning, I was miserable under conviction. But listen, when I left there, I had peace flowing out of my heart and oozing out of my soul in every direction. You say, Pastor, what happened? I got born again. I got born again that day and received the best, the first fruits. I became part of the first fruits of all of God's creatures when God saved me that day. There's nothing better than being born again. We've received the greatest blessing that any part of God's creation could experience because we received eternal life. You see, the reason for the new birth, the reason why, is to set us apart as God's special people who are like no others. I'll say it again. When God saves a sinner, He makes us a part of His kingdom and sets us apart as a special people who are like no other. Like no other. A people whose sins are forgiven. Are you ready? A people who are accepted as righteous in the sight of God. A people redeemed from the bondage of sin. A people who are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. A people who walk in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A people who one day are going to rule and reign with Christ when He comes and establishes His kingdom. A new people with new life, living and reigning in a new world one of these days. The idea of first fruits indicates all of that. It indicates, ladies and gentlemen, that when God saved you, He made you a part of a created order that is the best there is. A new creation in Christ. In the old creation, under the headship of Adam, you and I were sinful creatures and corrupt and headed to the judgment of God. But when you came to Christ that day, when you received Him, He became the Lord of your life, God made you a brand new creature in Christ with a brand new standing before Him and a brand new destination, and He gave to you eternal life. That's the best there is. But I'm going to tell you that the idea of first fruits indicates that while this is the best, it's not the last. It's the best, but it's not the last. First fruits indicates that there's more to come. That's why it's called first fruits. Not only is it the best, but there's more that is yet to come. You say, Pastor, what could that be talking about? It could be talking about one of these days that you and I who receive new life, eternal life, at the moment of our conversion, one of these days are going to have a new body. Hey, one of these days we're going to live in a new home. Hey, one of these days we're going to be reigning in a new world, a new heavens and a new earth. Hey, there's much more to come. I'm so glad for that day when God saved me. But I'm going to say to you one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that there's much more. This is just the first fruits. And there's much more that is yet to come. Now that we've been born again, we have new life because of the Holy Spirit living in us. But Paul makes it clear in his writings that the Holy Spirit, the new life, eternal life that He gave us when He saved us, is just the earnest of our inheritance in Ephesians chapter 1. The earnest, the Holy Spirit living in you, who has sealed you, is the earnest of our inheritance. Now that little phrase in Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14, the earnest of our inheritance, means, ladies and gentlemen, that it's just the down payment for much more that is yet to come. Maybe you went out and bought something big and you had to put a down payment on it, guaranteeing that you were going to pay the rest of the money in installments over a period of time. Even so, God made a down payment when he saved you, and that is he placed his Spirit, his life, eternal life, on the inside of you. And if you've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, then it is the down payment, the guarantee of much more to come. It is the guarantee that one of these days you're going to have a new body. Listen to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 21. What a wonderful verse this is. Listen to it. The Bible says that he's going to change our vile body. The Lord is going to come and he's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working wherewith he is able to subdue all things unto himself. One of these days, the Lord is coming from heaven and he's going to change our vile bodies, our sinful, corrupted bodies, and he's going to give us brand new glorified body like his glorified body, an incorruptible body. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of beginning to look forward to that. And that is a new body one of these days. In Romans chapter number 8, we find the confirmation of this in Romans 8, verse number 11. If the Spirit of Him, listen to this now, if the Spirit of Christ, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth on the inside of you. The Spirit of God living on the inside of you is the guarantee that one of these days that your body is going to be raised incorruptible and glorified when Jesus comes again. You're going to have a new body. Did you know you're going to have a new home? Well, that's what Jesus said in John chapter number 14. He said to his disciples in the upper room, just before he was arrested, he said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And here's the reason why you don't have to let your heart be troubled. You can trust in me. Just like you trust in God, believe in God, believe also in me. And he said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that there you may be also. Did you know that one of these days, you're going to be in a brand new home? You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4 that one of these days, there's going to be the sound of a trumpet. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. The Bible says the Lord Jesus himself is going to descend from heaven. And all of those who've died and their souls are with him in heaven, they're going to return with him. And the Bible says when the Lord comes back from heaven with the souls of those who are there with him, when he returns one of these days, the Bible says that those who've died, their bodies are going to be raised from the dead and reunited with their soul from heaven. And those who are alive and remain, ladies and gentlemen, are also going to be instantly changed and we're going to be caught up into the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days, the Lord is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to give us a new body. And I'll tell you, he's going to take us to a new home. And you and I are going to live with him and reign with him in a brand new world. 2 Peter chapter number 3, listen to what it says. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says in verse number 11, it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, you know what we're looking for? A new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. One of these days, we're going to have a new body, live in a new home, reign with him in a brand new world. And listen, it all began with a new birth. That day that God saved you. Think about it now. A new body, a new home, a new world. And all began with a new birth. Think about all the blessings that are yours now because of that day that God saved you. Think about all the blessings that are on their way and they're guaranteed because God gave to you eternal life on that day when he beget you. Listen to me now. And all these blessings that I've been describing to you have become ours because of what God did in our hearts and our lives through the word of truth. Of his own will begat he with the word of truth, so that, or for this purpose, that we might become the first fruits of all of his creatures. Think about it now. Through the word, God birthed you into his kingdom. And now all of these blessings are yours. Hope you're starting to see the connection between the Bible and all of our blessings. Now listen, I'm going to make an application. I'll be done. In light of what God has done in our lives through the Word, born again, brand new life, looking forward to a brand new body, anticipating a brand new home, looking forward to ruling and reigning with Him in a brand new world someday. In light of all that God has done in our life and all the blessings He's given us and that we're still looking forward to as these first fruits, in light of all of that, we should stand amazed at this book, the Bible. We should stand in amazement at the Bible. We should love this book, the Bible. We should hunger for this book, the Bible. There ought to be something on the inside of us that wants to hear and read this book more than we want anything else in life. This is the book that God has used to bring all of these blessings into my life. They're going to last for all eternity. Hey, you know that new car your neighbor got? It'll be an old piece of junk in a few years. You know that new house? You'll have to have a new roof on it someday. Yeah. New concrete. I mean, listen, it's not going to last. It's going to have to be remodeled and updated. Won't be so fun then. Those new clothes, they'll wear out. But I'm going to tell you, that, ladies and gentlemen, what God gave you when He saved you, what God has blessed you with that you have now and that is yet to come, is going to last for all eternity. Amen. That's the reason why you ought to love this book. That's the reason why you ought to have a hunger for this book. That's the reason why you ought to want to remember this book, everything it says. That's the reason why you ought to want to follow whatever this book says. That is, that's the reason why that you and I ought to try to remember this book like we would remember something that is important to us that we use every day. Amen. The reason why is because of the salvation that God has provided for us through this book. You see, before you ever get to what James writes here about remembering the Word, you have to deal with verse 18 where he's talking about regeneration through the Word. The reason why we want to remember the Word, the reason why we love the Word, the reason why we want to continue in the Word is because it is this book that God has used to bring the greatest blessings into our lives. The Bible. The blessings of the Bible. Nothing else has blessed you or will bless you like this book. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing you buy. No relationships you have. Listen to me, young people. You'll never meet somebody who can bless you more than what this book will. You'll never marry anybody. You'll never be friends with anybody. You'll never work beside somebody. You'll never have a job that'll bring the blessings that this book does. And that's the reason why you ought to love this book. You ought to cherish this book. You ought to read this book. You ought to want to hear this book. You ought to want to study this book. You ought to want to follow this book because of the blessings that it brings into your life. The blessings of the Bible. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your truth and what You're saying to us and how You're working in us. And God, I pray that You would operate upon our hearts this evening so that those who are here that are lost could realize what it means to be born again and that You'll bring them to the point, God, that only You can bring a sinner to. Brokenness over sin, and believing or trusting in Christ alone. I pray for Your people, Father. God, those, Lord, that have gotten kind of dull of hearing the Word of God. Lord, they don't love Your Word like we should. They don't cherish Your Word like we should. But God, You would do a work on the inside of our hearts. God, that You'd help us just remember what all You've given us through this book, what You blessed us with through the Word of God. Father, thank You for this opportunity we've had. Just look at this verse. Bless this time of decision. Work Your work in our hearts. Pray for those that are lost that You would save them tonight for Your glory and Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.